What's up, everybody? You're listening to Conspiracy Theories and Unpopular Culture. I'm your host, Isaac Weishaupt. Now, here's the thing. I don't know how big of a fan you are. I hate to use that term. It sounds so douchey. I don't know how astute of a listener you are to my podcast, because I've got this Conspiracy Theories podcast, and then I've got this other podcast with my wife, Josie Weishaupt, called Breaking Social Norms. Now, some of you love it, some of you hate it. It's a love it or hate it kind of show, because it's very different than this show you're listening to today, because that is more of the, how apropos, Joe Rogan experience type show. It's a conversation, a long 1 to 2, maybe even 2.5 hour conversation, rambling a little bit, diatribes a little bit, opinions, right? It's more entertaining, more lightweight, sort of a palate cleanser for all of this dark, heavy, conspiratorial thinking. Whereas this show you're listening to, as you probably already know, we stick mainly to the script. I give you the facts. I give you my perspective a little bit here and there. I try to make a couple of jokes, and you probably think I'm stupid, and it's fine. I try to keep it sort of light. Two different approaches, right? Now, if you follow Breaking Social Norms, as I'm sure you do, unless you're one of the hate-its, then you saw that we recently released a 2-hour podcast about the Joe Rogan situation, okay? And you're probably wondering, why, Isaac, are you doing another show on your Conspiracy Theories and Unpopular Culture feed for Joe Rogan? Because it's very important. And because I found some new wild ideas about some of the theories I pitched on that show, Breaking Social Norms. We're going to go deeper into the conspiratorial thinking, because I found some crazy connections that, look, it's not a smoking gun, but for the Illuminati bloodline folks out there, the Illuminati bloodline nerds, you're going to want to listen. We're going to connect this Joe Rogan saga with that missing flight MH370. You remember that from 2014? I'll remind you. Of course, Big Pharma, Pfizer, Blackstone, Freescale, Jacob Rothschild? Yes, Jacob Rothschild. The Red Shield, the bloodline of the Red Shield, involved with all of this. Maybe, possibly. Again, like I always say, this is an opinion show. This is, you know, put on your conspiracy hat kind of thinking. I don't know if all of this is true. I will give you my sources and my ideas of where I got this, and you make the decision. I have no interest in telling you what to think or what to believe. I just want you to think, right? That's my whole thing, is we need to always question the narrative, always question the mainstream, always question even Joe Rogan. I question Joe Rogan all the time. I don't know if he's a shill. I like Joe Rogan myself. I think he's an American treasure. That's not to say everything he does is great, including what, like, we're going to talk about today, the usage of the N-word. We're going to talk about that later. A topic I've hit a couple times in the past several years, because I wrote a book on hip-hop and the Illuminati, and I self-narrated, which, as you can imagine, required me to address this situation of, as a white man, do I say the actual word, or do I just say the N-word? We're going to talk about it. Any housekeeping? What housekeeping do I have? Shirts. If you like the shirts and the merchandise, I got more coming. I even have another design I'm working on that you're going to love. You're going to love it. It's going to be great. It's going to be the most beautiful thing you've ever seen. So you know where to get all my merch. I've got t-shirts, signed books. Go to gumroad.com/IsaacW. Link in the show notes. Let's get into it. Now, if you've lost track of how this all happened, I'm going to very briefly catch you up, because I mostly want to focus on this conspiracy angle here, okay? Joe Rogan, as you know, he's our modern-day renaissance man. He's done everything, it seems, right? Black belt MMA fighter guy. I think it's taekwondo or kickboxing or something. And, you know, I myself am a second degree yellow belt. I don't want to brag. and I don't want to intimidate you guys, but I took a year of karate myself. Now, it was actually karate, kickboxing, taekwondo, because I'm not a fighter. I'm a lover, not a fighter. And that's where I learned the value of mass, okay, when you talk about physics. Because one time I sparred with this guy, this big guy. I'm not a big guy. I'm like Joe Rogan size. I'm of average height, give or take. Average male height. And roughly 180 pounds. And then I sparred with this guy who was probably 6 foot and closer to 270. And I remember he kicked me. And it wasn't like full on 100%. It was like, I don't know, 30%. And he kicked me and it knocked the wind out of me, put me on my ass. I was like, whoa, dude. And like, I could see the foot coming up. It was so slow. And I just saw it coming. Anyway, Joe Rogan's done it all. MMA, TV show host, sitcom actor, comedian, stand-up comedian, and podcaster. One of the influences to get me started in podcasting, because I used to listen to Joe Rogan. Back in the day, there weren't a lot of podcasts. There certainly weren't a lot of quality podcasts. So I would listen to kind of the same ones over and over, the same sort of shows. And Joe Rogan was one of them. All right. He has a long form content show, 2-3 hours, rambling around various topics with various guests. And he tries to get interesting guests on. Sometimes that blows up in his face, as this apparently has. Okay. And he has had several guests on since the beginning of the pandemic that have questioned the official narrative, the mainstream narrative, which I support. And I don't know what the answer is. Neither does Joe Rogan. And he's trying to figure it out. He just says something doesn't seem right. Let's give a voice to people who don't tout the mainstream objectives, okay? And I talked about this more on Breaking Social Norms. But like, I don't necessarily trust Dr. Malone. I don't necessarily trust Dr. McCullough. I listened to some of the Dr. Malone one. I'm a decent read of people. I'm decent at it. I've found over my years. And this Dr. Malone guy is just like every other egotistical doctor. He wants to take ownership that, oh, I invented this thing, the stab. And that's not really the way it works, okay? I took a whole college course. I've got a master's in science. So you're talking to someone who's gone through a fair amount of indoctrination of science. And the way science works is you have teams of nerds and they evolve a theory. They each participate and do their part of the project. The American false idea is that there's one guy and he's just this crazy genius. You're Elon Musk and Albert Einstein and Thomas Edison, and they just come up with these things. They're just blessed by God. And that's not the truth. They have people that work with them. Maybe Thomas Edison says, hey, you know what? Let's try to invent a flying car. But then he's got a whole bunch of engineer nerds that each divide that project up, right? It's systems engineering. You divide it into tasks and subtasks. Anyway, so Malone seems to imply that he's the guy that invented all of this. And it's like so far from the truth. But that's what you got to watch out for with these doctors. They get such an ego, their egos get so inflated, and it's just hard for me to absorb anything else they have to say. Because they have an agenda. There's a bias there. All right? So, anyway, he has these doctors on that question the narrative, and then out of nowhere, seemingly, Neil Young tells the world, hey, either Spotify, because Spotify owns the exclusive rights to the Joe Rogan Experience podcast. All right. And Neil Young says, look, you're going to take down the Joe Rogan Experience or I'm leaving Spotify. I'm out. Because I don't like the misinformation. All right. Then Joni Mitchell apparently follows suit. Or as the news tells you, it's an... Well, sorry, I got the video going and I'm smacking cables. It's an exodus of rock legends. Okay, well, I wouldn't classify either of them as rock. I mean, folk music legends, true. But they act like every artist on the platform is up in arms about this and are leaving, which to me is preposterous, especially considering how the... I gotta be careful with what I say, because I plan on putting this this up. How should I say this? The Stabs are apparently not doing the thing they said a year ago that they were doing. So for Neil Young and Joni Mitchell to quadruple down so hard on this is crazy to me. But whatever. I don't think that's what's really happening here. I think there's puppet masters making this happen, and we'll explain why. So Neil Young demands Spotify take Joe Rogan off or I'm out. Spotify's like, bye, Felicia. See you later. Don't let the door hit you. Which makes a ton of sense. How much money you think Neil Young is bringing Spotify? His audience, I would argue, not to be ageist, don't really listen to Spotify. You know what I'm saying? So it's not a money thing. There's something else going on here. And Josie has a theory also that maybe Joe Rogan has... You got to understand there's bot farms everywhere. Instigating on social media, making us fight, distracting us. And that extends to, it could be that Joe Rogan's audience isn't as large as they want to pretend. They tell you that Joe Rogan's got 11 million listeners. And if you compare that to the mainstream media, like Sean Hannity's got 3 million listeners. Tucker Carlson's got like 2 million listeners. If you go by that, and those were numbers I looked up a couple days ago. Don't quote me. Fact check those. But the idea is Joe Rogan's got a larger audience than the mainstream news, okay? Which is a real problem for the establishment. Josie says, what if Joe Rogan falsely inflated his listenership to get that deal with Spotify? Because a lot of people, when that deal happened, myself included, did some quick and dirty math and said, wow, he's losing a ton of money doing that. He made $100 million, but if he's got that many listeners, he could make that on his own with all of his ads and all that stuff pretty quick. But again, I don't know the details of where he makes his money or how it works. It seemed a lot of people were questioning if he got a good deal on that. All right. Anyhow. So Neil Young, Joni Mitchell, they leave the platform. The news is obsessed with the Joe Rogan thing, okay? And it's all over social media. It's become this litmus test of national divide. It just took the last 2 years of the pandemic, everyone going into their camps as they wanted you to do. And now this is another issue. This is no different than arguing about masks, arguing about stabbing, arguing about lockdowns. It's almost the same argument. It's almost like they're stoking a civil war, dare I say. All right? That's not where we're taking the conspiracy. The conspiracy theorist came up with this idea that essentially Pfizer, who obviously has a vested interest in maintaining the stab agenda, they own Neil Young in a weird sort of way, and they're the ones that made this publicity stunt happen. Okay. And the way they piece that together, and again, no clue if this is holds enough weight for it to be true, but I do know it's very, the whole thing is very strange. It feels like there's something else going on here, especially Mr. Rockin' in the free world talking about let's censor people. Seems very strange. Because that's what those hippies were supposed to be doing. They were supposed to be bucking the establishment, right? But if you read David McGowan's Weird Scenes from the Laurel Canyon, who Neil Young is in there, by the way, I read through the references to Neil Young. Nothing that really fit into the narrative here and the theory. But a lot of those hippies, you know, Jim Morrison's a great example. His dad was the admiral of the Navy ship that was in the Gulf of Tonkin. That was the false flag that started the Vietnam War. Is it a smoking gun of some problems? No, but it's very weird. Anyway, so Neil Young is part of that Laurel Canyon thing. So the idea here is that a company called Hypnosis, who buys artist catalogs, again, and this is one of these investment companies that I don't really know what they do exactly. I don't understand how it works. Not my field of expertise. But apparently they acquired half of Neil Young's catalog for $150 million back in January of 21, okay? Which is an amazing amount of money if you think about it. Man, you just get one big hit. Not to say Neil Young's only got one big hit, but I mean, I guess he was part of what's the group he was in? Jefferson Brown? No, that's not it. Jackson Brown. I don't know. I'm not a big Neil Young fan. Not that there's anything wrong with his music. It's just I've never got into it. So Hypnosis buys this catalog, half of his catalog, in January of last year in 21. Now let's look at the name Hypnosis, spelled Hypnosis. Gnosis. And if you listen to the show long enough, you know that Gnosis is a reference to the hidden occult wisdom of Gnosticism. So they have a definitively occult name, which tells me maybe there's some occult stuff going on here behind the scenes, right? The hidden hand of the Illuminati. And oh, by the way, a year prior to that, they bought Tom DeLonge's publishing rights too. Tom DeLonge, of course, instrumental to the alien disclosure movement, tied into the occultists like Peter LaVenda. He wrote that book with Peter LaVenda about the alien disclosure, which ties us into the ancient aliens and ties us into all these religious ideas about the aliens being the pagan gods coming to drink the adrenochrome. Read my book, Aliens, UFOs, and the Occult, Use Your Illusion 1 for more on that. It's on Amazon, Audible, or get it on Gumroad. Get a signed copy. Look. Get yourself a signed copy of the books. Use Your Illusion 1 and 2, maybe. And throw yourself a t-shirt in the mix. A very comfortable t-shirt. And I got more shirts coming, by the way. So, and I'll publish those on my social media. I'll post when I get them in. So Hypnosis, very occult name. They are part of this whole thing, too. Then, after they buy Neil Young's catalog, half of it, in 2021 still, last year, Blackstone, another one of these weird investment firms that I don't know what they do exactly, they buy a giant stake of ownership of Hypnosis. So now Blackstone effectively owns Neil Young's, half of Neil Young's catalog, all right? That's the theory. Now Blackstone is another occult name, the Black Stone. Like the black seeing stone that John Dee used to scry, to gaze into. Much like you see in Archive 81, a show on Netflix that I'm going to release here in a couple weeks probably, because there's a absolute ton of symbolism in that show, in the Netflix series Archive 81. So stay subscribed because that's coming. It's a lot of work though. My God, there's so much to research and talk about. It's going to be a two-part episode. I already see it. Maybe even three. Nah, we'll make it two. I know you have a short attention span sometimes. When I do the three-parters, you start tuning out after two. Blackstone, like the black cube of Saturn. The monolith, like 2001 A Space Odyssey, which is the logo of Blackstone. It's a sideways monolith. The Blackstone of the Kaaba in the religion of Islam. When the Muslims do their Hajj, I'm going to screw this up, but they basically walk around the Kaaba it's the black cube that has the stone in it that they touch, the stone that that ties into comets, right? Archive 81 comets. I didn't realize that. I'll just piece that together. But anyways, we're going to come back to the Middle East. That's going to play a part in this theory too. So the conspiracy people say, well, Blackstone, this investment company, guess what else is weird about them? They've got this guy, Jeffrey Kindler, who is a senior advisor. All right. Kindler was the CEO of Pfizer. Ain't that something? Now, it gets even weirder than that. But if you stop there, if you read the official conspiracy, you're like, wow, that's really weird. Let me fact check it. And you go on the Google, which always steers you wrong, ever since they shadow banned me 6 years ago. If you go to Snopes, they debunk it, all right? You won't believe the debunk of this theory. They debunk it, and this is what they say, and I'll read you right from their dumb website. Blackstone is a publicly traded company, meaning it has a fiduciary duty to its shareholders, and Kindler, in turn, has a professional obligation to provide sound business and strategic advice to Blackstone. They're saying, they're trying to tell you, there would be no buggery afoot with this, because the corporations aren't supposed to screw you over. Isn't that a novel idea? They're like, why would an investment firm screw the people over? It goes against the law. It breaks the law. Oh, really? I would have never thought that that would ever happen in a million years. You're right, Snopes. Good debunk. So I look into it because I'm like, well, that debunk was BS. And it's all true. Kindler left Pfizer in 2010 and started working for Blackstone. Because Big Pharma, of course, always tied into all this. And it gets even weirder. It's weirder than that. All that stuff I just told you, all of it is true. All of it's true. Now, does it mean that... And the argument that the conspiracy people are saying is like, look, Pfizer, in effect, is trying to get... they're puppet mastering Neil Young to help promote the stab because they want no misinformation out there so that everyone goes for the stab, which increases the profit margin for Pfizer. That's the argument. All right. Now, I don't know if that's true, but all the other elements, all these pieces they connect is true. All these connections. And I, through my personal contribution to this theory, say, yeah, and the names of these people involved are very occultish. All right? Now, here's where it gets even weirder, because I'm going to give you even more fire, more fuel for this fire. In October 2000, Blackstone acquired Building 7 of the World Trade Center, and you know that as the big weird thing of 9/11, part of the big conspiracy theory of how it went down. See my 3 or 4 or 5 episodes on 9/11 I published in September of 21. And here's where it gets even weirder than weird, right? I got lots of weirdness. It's weird on weird on weird on weird. In 2006, Blackstone formed up an alliance with the Carlyle Group, all right? And let's talk about the Carlyle Group first. Because this is a rabbit hole of sorts, right? Carlyle Group probably rings a bell if you saw Michael Moore's Fahrenheit 9/11, okay? The allegation being made was that the Carlyle Group, who, again, one of these companies that, who knows what they do, money things and makes money for rich people, all right? And I'm very anti-capitalist, right? I don't like the rich people. I'm pro-capitalism, anti-rich person, unless I'm the rich guy. Then it's all right, all right? But hey, until I'm there, I'm going to bring them rich people down. And by the way, I'm never going to get there because one of these guys we're going to talk about today, I've got it written down here, $3 billion. I ain't getting to $3 billion. Neither is Joe Rogan. It's a big club and you ain't in it. That's what George Carlin said. Anyway, the Carlyle Group, one of these yacht club for rich people investment things. They were, they're a private equity firm and they owned, I guess, some military contractor company things. And the argument presented was that if we went to war, the Carlyle Group would get more money out of this. There's a financial interest in going to war. Okay. And they tie it to like George Bush and Secretary of State James Baker, they were in fact advisors to Carlyle Group. Advisors. There's always this advisor thing, which means you're not a salaried employee that shows up to work 9 to 5. You're the guy who knows where the bodies are buried, knows who the connections are, knows what's going to happen. Like all these Congress people that their portfolios mysteriously make more money than Warren Buffett, their returns. What are they? They're smarter than Warren Buffett on investing? No, they just know all the things that are happening. Everything's coordinated, right? So G.W. Bush, James Baker, advisors to Carlyle, and that's where the tie-ins happen, where one way or another, we end up going to war and increasing the profits for Carlyle Group, all right? And another weird part is that the Bin Laden family is huge, first off, but his brother Shafiq was at the Carlyle Annual Investor Conference that was happening while simultaneously the 9/11 attacks were happening in New York, right? And guess who else was there? The Secretary of State James Baker and George Bush Sr. Skull and Bones Bush there. So, and then as the Fahrenheit 9/11 movie shows you, all the Bin Ladens that were in America, because there were several of them, got flown out. They flew them back. Very strange, right? Nothing makes sense. So, anyway, Blackstone, his buddies with Carlyle Group, and back in 2006, they bought this company called Freescale Semiconductors, all right? And that should ring a bell, because do you remember in 2014, the Malaysian flight MH370 disappeared off the face of the earth? They've never found it. They have no clue what happened to this plane. A massive plane. In 2014, with a million ways of tracking. Gone. No clue. No clue where this massive plane went. Well, the theories floating around back then, as I was reporting on my blog back in 2014, which is probably why Google Shadow banned me a year later, I was tracking all the different conspiracies that were being discussed about it. We're going to go through all of them. We'll go through some of them. Well, 20 employees from Freescale were on that plane. That's a fact. All right. So the conspiracy theorists say, well, there's something connected there. Why would they do that? And ultimately, it was because there was a patent on, there was a patent that Freescale owned, but it was a five-way split on the patent. And allegedly, and I don't know, this is where it gets into the levels of detail that I can't confirm or not. There was a patent that Freescale owned, but it was a five-way split. Freescale, the company, owned 20%. Four people owned 20% each. And the way the patent worked out is, you know, so it's a five-way split. If one person dies, the remaining 80% gets split amongst the four remaining patent holders. Now, what happens if all four of the people die and Freescale is the only one that owns any part of that patent? Well, Freescale now owns 100% of it. And so the theory goes that those four patent holders were on that plane. I don't know if it's true. That's the claim. Meaning Freescale now owns the entire patent. And let's look at, oh boy, where do we want to take this? And let's just continue with that line of thinking. So Freescale owns this patent for what? I don't know. Some nerd thing. How many chips you can fit on a transistor or something like that. I don't know if it ever was something that became something or is bound to become something. This is all the weird stuff that goes on behind the scenes that I have no way of knowing if it matters or if it's true. But guess who they claim, the conspiracy people said, and guess who owns Freescale? Jacob Rothschild. So Jacob Rothschild owns Freescale through Blackstone. Thus, Jacob Rothschild took this plane down to get all the money on this patent. That's the theory. It's kind of wild. And I looked it up. Jacob Rothschild doesn't own Blackstone. It just But they do, in fact, list him on Wikipedia. It says he's a member of the International Advisory Board of Blackstone. But, as I explained to my lovely normie wife, Josie, on Breaking Social Norms, sure, none of this is smoking gun connections, but you gotta understand, when these elitists, when these rich guys, and girls too, I'm sure, when these rich people, the CEO of Pfizer, when he leaves Pfizer, he's for sure in touch with all of these people still. No one, like, they move, it's like this revolving door, right? And they stay plugged in, and they make each other money to accumulate wealth. That's why it's a private club at the Bohemian Grove. Because you get all these elitists together and they start talking about what's going to happen and where to invest and they hook each other up. I want my invitation in. But that's the way it works. So when Jacob Rothschild is listed as a member of the International Advisory Board, that doesn't sound like he owns Blackstone, but he's connected. And that's the idea, is that just subtle connections could have a further implication than what we understand. All right. Let's look at some other MH370 ideas. It was a Boeing 777, which we talked about. It's a god number, as you've seen in Beyonce's, I believe it was Black as King. I did a full show on that. Rihanna also used it. And it comes from Aleister Crowley's Liber 777, Book 777. It's this table of a bunch of magical correspondences, and the seven represents the lightning bolt, and it's basically the pathway down the Kabbalistic tree of life through the Sephirot so that the initiates can somehow emulate or follow this path of wisdom. So, long story short, Madonna can become God. Right? Just saying that. Or Britney. I'm wearing my Britney shirt. We freed Britney last year. What are we going to do this year? You know? But she was seen with a Kabbalah red string bracelet in the past. Who did she learn that from? Madonna, after they were smooching with their Freemasonic garb on at the VMAs many, many years ago. Now, Freescale, I actually talked about this on my article from 2014. You can't read it because I got sued last year. And I had to take down my articles. Didn't have to. I got sued for one article I had to take down. And I was like, well, I know where this leads. I've been banned off everything, so I took them all down. But I can still read them in the backside. The backside. In the article, I made note of Freescale being owned by Blackstone, back then even, which I found curious. And I talked about the founders of Blackstone. One of them is a member of Skull and Bones. The other one is the chairman of the Council of Foreign Relations. We're talking about Peter Peterson. He's the chairman of CFR from 1985 to 2007. It's a long time. He is the 149th richest person in America with a net worth of almost $3 billion, with a B. The other guy who founded Blackstone is Steven Schwarzman. As per Wiki, he, quote, was a member of Senior Society Skull and Bones. So there you go. All these Freemason secret societies, they're all plugged in together. And if you think I'm going too political sometimes, he was a chairman of Trump's Strategic and Policy Forum. Because like I always say, both sides of this aisle are connected in with all this. They all know each other, right? And said he, this is what he said about Obama's plan to raise taxes. He said, quote, it's a war. It's like when Hitler invaded Poland in 1939. Oh, boy. These guys are melodramatic. Anyhow, so we talked about the theory. And ironically, back then, one theory about this missing flight, because it was hot on the news. One theory was that it was all a distraction from what was going down between Ukraine and Russia, which ironically is applicable today, right? Because there's beef over there, I guess. I don't know. And one other theory was that we talked about how maybe aliens took down that plane. Now, since then, we've had UFO disclosure. Could it be that that was true? Could it be that they will reveal that truth to us? Maybe. They wrote a whole document talking about how they need funding to keep us safe, to study this, and all that. So yeah, that's the weird connections with Rothschild, MH370, Freescale Semiconductors, rich people, Skull and Bones. It's all there. I don't know how to connect the dots, but it sure seems weird, right? So in conclusion, so what happened since then? Let's wrap it up. Spotify removed a bunch of episodes, including the Alex Jones show. Many days of fighting on Twitter. Joe Rogan drops an apology video about how he could do better with the misinformation type stuff. All right. Then, mysteriously or not, a video drops of a compilation of him using the N-word many, many times. He releases another apology video talking about, like, hey, I shouldn't have used that word, blah, blah, blah. More demands for him to get removed. The CEO of Spotify comes out and says, hey, we're not removing Joe Rogan. We're not canceling him. Sorry. Rumble, which is an alternative YouTube type site, they offered Joe Rogan $100 million to come over to Rumble, and they said, you can keep all your episodes up. Trump, this is what Trump said just on February 8th here. Joe Rogan is an interesting and popular guy, but he's got to stop apologizing to the fake news and radical left maniacs and lunatics. Well, I don't think he's wrong there. The left are maniacs and lunatics. How many ways can you say, but so are the right. Okay, first off, you want to talk about who invented cancel culture, my right-wing friends? Because like I always say, I'm not politically affiliated. My voter card says not affiliated because I don't like neither one of these crazy people. But some of you are very right-wing, and that's cool. Like, it's fine. I don't care. But here's the thing. Guess who invented cancel culture? It was the right-wing. Yeah, they were the ones that did it. They canceled Howard Stern back in the day. They harassed him off the radio, you know. And, man, there's a really good example I thought of the other day of them about how the right was canceling, you know, and it's usually some kind of sexual problem they have. They have these hang-ups with things being too, like, sexy. And then you fast forward and Tucker Carlson says the M&Ms aren't sexy enough. So which way do you want it, right? Because, and this is what happens over history. I took a whole politics and history of politics in America. The party values flip-flop. They really do over time. So you can't just say, look, I support this party or that party forever and ever, like a gang, because they change their values. Anyway, Joe Rogan said, or not sure what, Trump says, how many ways can you say you're sorry? Joe, just go about what you do so well and don't let them make you look weak and frightened. And that's where we're at. They removed a bunch of episodes, a quasi form of censorship. And who knows what the future will hold here. And my whole thing, and look, while I understand it's not my place as a white man to determine how much penance Joe Rogan should pay for using the N-word like he did, I mean, in some ways, I could even understand him using it. Because some of these comedians, they're very provocative, right? And I like comedians. I think free speech is kind of the last place it exists with stand-up comedy. I don't use the N-word myself. Even when I'm rapping along with my favorite song, I don't do it. Just because it's a bad habit, right? But, and in fact, when I read on Audible Sacrifice Magic Behind the Mic, the hip-hop conspiracy book, I had to think about that. This was several years ago I did that. And I thought, you know, even though I'm reading the lyrics, I'm not saying it. So I say the N-word, right? So while it's not really my place to determine his guilt, innocence, penance, all that, this whole cancel culture thing is getting crazy. You can't condemn people of yesterday, their actions of yesterday, for what the standards are today. Now, granted, some of his N-word bombs were not that long ago. So in poor taste. But I would suggest we need to have paths to salvation for everyone. No one's perfect. Everyone's flawed. That's what the Christian faith tells us. Everyone's got a problem. And as long as you're coming correct with the apology, you got to give people a place to apologize and move on. That's what Dave Chappelle was talking about on the Bird Revelation. He was talking about how we've got some imperfect heroes. And if we start canceling everybody for every indiscretion, we're not going to be left with a lot of entertainment. Except for your boy. I'll be here. You know what I'm saying? I'm over here virtue signaling. Talking about how I don't say the N-word. No, I look, I've been canceled before cancel culture was a thing. I know what it's like. I've been canceled for reasons that don't even make sense. So anyway, I don't know. I prefer to think, let's just have a path to salvation. But ultimately, I think there's some real conspiratorial forces trying to get rid of Joe Rogan because he represents this last stand of democracy on the internet. The internet is a place where ideas spread too easy. They don't like this. The powers that be don't like it. They first created the search engine of Google where it was great, but then Google finds a way to shadow ban. Then they got social media, and of course, social media finds a way to ban people. YouTube, of course, one of the worst. They canceled me forever ago. Even Vimeo is on board with it. It's this cancel culture war that we're in. And look, those are some pretty unsavory things that Joe Rogan said, but he even said it. He said, man, that's really uncomfortable to hear. I apologize. I wish I could go back, but I can't. All I can do is go forward and not say that anymore. So I'm not really with Trump on the whole, let's just ignore it and don't apologize. I think it's cool that he apologized, right? And when people do that, when they're brave enough to apologize and say, look, I did something wrong and I don't like that and I apologize. Sorry, Ice Cube's calling me. this is what happens when you film the video. I have no way of fixing things. When people have the balls to apologize and the decency to apologize, you can't cut their head off. And that's what this... And look, I don't even know if this is real. I feel like this is a bunch of bots on Twitter stoking social media flames to make us fight and argue about whether and what we should do with Joe Rogan. So anyway, in conclusion, hopefully things work out good. All right. And for fun, if you want something fun and lighthearted, if you go to my Breaking Social Norms Instagram post at the Wisehops, I've got some photos of when I met Joe Rogan, and I gave him a copy of my first book, which mentions Joe Rogan in it, and then I had him sign my copy of A Grand Unified Conspiracy Theory, which I also posted a photo of that, with the exclusive alternate first draft cover that never was. Because I had a real cool cover picture, but it looked like crap when they printed it. So I switched it up to the Saturn image that you see on A Grand Unified Conspiracy Theory today, to this day. That was my first book I wrote. Not my favorite, right? It was fine. It was good for a first book. And I don't know what Joe Rogan ever did with it. He clearly never wrote me back about it. Maybe he read it, maybe he didn't. I don't know. I got the whole story on that Instagram, so check it out at the Wisehops. I'll try to put all these links in the show notes. If you want more on this whole debate, you can listen to me and Josie break it down. Sheeple normie Josie versus conspiracy truther crazy man Isaac on Breaking Social Norms. Thanks for listening. Stay subscribed to the show. I got a lot of fire coming this month. We got a Super Bowl show coming up. We got Archive 81, and I got a whole ton of stuff. I'm busy, busy, busy. So thanks for your support. Till next time, stay woke.